And we'll read the first chapter. While you're turning there, I'll get my microphone on. About forgot how to do this. I really thank the Lord for all of you that do this work here. And it's been progressing really, I think, very well. And it's a lot of work, and some of it is just not skilled labor, but they need feet to carry things, you know, and get things out of the way. And so anybody can be a help, even if you're not a skilled carpenter or plumber or whatever you might need. But keep praying. Just the Lord has just blessed us. I'm actually happy to be in this little room. I had so many blessings in this room, and this is just back to the same size as it was. But I enjoyed that other auditorium, and so why don't we just get it back? So let's pray that the Lord will give us what we need and the skills that we need, and that we can get it back like it ought to be. First chapter of the book of Jonah, why don't we responsively read this? I'll read the first, you the second. We go through the whole chapter to verse 17. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying,
Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me.
But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord.
But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken.
Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep.
So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not.
And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. And they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah.
Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?
And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land.
Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them.
Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous.
And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you.
Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them.
Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us the innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast had
So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging.
Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows.
Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your will. We thank you, Lord, how you reveal your will to us at different times and in different portions of our life to do different things for you. And we thank you for the word of God we have here and a sign that it is to us of your own coming and the truth of the word of God. We thank you, Lord, and we just ask that you'd give me freedom and ease to preach and that these people might hear and that, Lord, that your will might be done in our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, Jonah's running from God. And notice what it says about him. Now, Jonah is a prophet. And he knew, what I personally think, the reason why he was running from God. He knew in prophecy what the Ninevites were going to do to the Jews later on in life. And they did it. And he did not want to help them out. He was like we are. I'm American. I'm Texan and so on. You know, I want the Texas football teams to win and basketball teams to win. And I like Texas being up and praise the Lord. I was born in here, you know, born in Texas. I was raised on beans and cornbread. Now, if you haven't had that, you're not a real Texan. I mean, maybe tamales and tortillas and tacos, maybe they count because they get those pinto beans too. At any rate, he was a guy that loved the Jews, and he knew what was going to happen, and no doubt he had to be some kind of a prophet with an experience with God, and God told him. He didn't tell anybody else. Doesn't look like it was a general call out here. No, he said, I want you to go to Nineveh. Well, he didn't like them. He didn't want them to be saved. And he was going to go to them and try to stop them from being destroyed. And that's what it was. Well, Jonah, for whatever reason, decided he could run from God. You ever thought you could run? You ever thought you could run?
Amen.
You can't run.
Amen.
And this is exactly what this story tells us, and we need to see it ever so often. Now, my grandmother, Kincaid, had a little bit to do with raising me, and she read me stories, and she read me these stories out of the Bible. She was an old-fashioned Methodist, and I tell you what, she was strict. And, of course, she spanked me quite often. She wasn't a grandmother that didn't spank. She would spank the daylights out of me if I disobeyed her. And, of course, she never hurt me. It just hurt my feelings more than anything else. And the little switch that she'd get, you know, she'd catch me. I'd start running off away from her, and I'd run around the house. Well, she didn't chase me. She just went up to the corner house and caught me as I went by. Smarter than the little kids, you know. And she'd take a little switch off of one of the bushes that grew right there by the porch, and she'd break it off and she'd use that. And kids, let me tell you, you don't want to run away from a grandmother because she'll catch you and turn with you. You know? She made her will known, and she told me these stories. And I remember she was a dear lady. And she died when I was in high school. But told me about Jonah. And it's a tremendous thing. This has more controversy than many other places in the Word of God. And it's because of the whale. Now, many of the guys that don't want to leave the Bible the way it ought to be, they say, it wasn't a whale. Whales don't have a big enough throat and so on and so forth, you know. Well, you see, Jesus, let me see, in Matthew 12:40, said it was a whale. And I'll tell you something else about this little story here. It says right there at verse 17, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, the Pharisees came to Jesus in his day before he was crucified, and they wanted a sign. You know the sign Jesus picked? This right here. It says right here, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Jesus said, the sign I'm going to give to you that what I'm doing is right and I'm who I said I am As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall I be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Now, does that mean anything? Well, it means that Easter isn't when you have the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't change every year. This year I was asked a question. Why does Easter change every year? Well, Easter doesn't. Easter is fertility. Easter is the first full moon after the equinox and the first Sunday. That's Easter. It changes every year. It's at a different time all the time. Because it's not celebrating the resurrection of Christ, although you can call it that and put it out that way, but it's just not true. And we have it right here. He was 3 days and three nights in the big fish, is what the story of Jonah says. Jesus said it was a whale. That'd be in the hearts. As Jonah was in 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, even so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And Good Friday, I hope you have a Good Friday. Every Good Friday, I hope it's a Good Friday for you. But Good Friday could not be the day he was crucified. Because if he arose early in the Sunday morning, you don't get 3 days and you don't get three nights. And so the Bible tells you how you can work some of these things out. So it's really a very famous story. And it's a wonderful thing. I just knew this Muslim cult that has really risen and gotten so strong over there. They just a few years ago bulldozed down the plaque and the gravesite of Jonah. You know where it was? Nineveh. I never thought about it. Have you ever thought about it? You didn't hear any more about Jonah? Well, he went down there and had a revival meeting. He went down there and he began to preach repentance. He wasn't preaching mercy. He was preaching repentance. You ought to repent of your sins and call upon God because he's angry with you. And they had a revival. This is a huge city. It said it had so many that couldn't tell their right hand from the left. I'm supposing that's children. But it also talked about 3 days walking across it. As he's preaching, he's walking across the city. Now, how far can you go in 3 days walking? Pretty big city. Awful big city. That's a lot of people. Well, now, what kind of revival is this? This is the biggest revival I think there is recorded anywhere. I don't think we have any other revival bigger than this anywhere in the Word of God, and I don't know about anyone in history. Here is a city, that huge a city, that goes into repentance. Even the king goes into repentance before God Almighty. And Nineveh was destroyed 167 years later. That's a lot of children. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of experience for a revival. Wow, that's a revival. Saved the city for 167 years? Evidently, Jonah never went back to Israel. Evidently, he stayed there and was an honored person in there, and they raised this plaque for him and this symbol, whatever, at his gravesite. And so the Arabs didn't like that, and they bulldozed it down. But that didn't change it. I didn't know he never went back. I didn't know that's where he was buried. I didn't know they had a plaque to it. And when they showed that, I thought, wow, I went back to this thing. I said, well, what a story. What a life. What a man. So, Jonah was a prophet of God. And God said, Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh and preach for them to repent. These old prophets were pretty tough old birds. You read about a bunch of prophets in the Old Testament, and it's an amazing thing to see them. Jonah didn't like what God wanted him to do. You ever had God tell you something when you were reading the Bible that you didn't want to do? Did you ever run? Did you know you can't run from God?
Amen.
I think one of the most beautiful truths that comes out of reading of the book of Jonah and seeing his experience, is that you can't run from God. You think you can. You've ever tried it? Sure you have. Every one of you has been against what God wanted you to do. Every one of you has been in a situation. It might be health. It might be in finances. It might be in a marriage. It might be with a child. That you got something and you're in a problem and you're in a difficulty and you want to run. And a lot of people do and mess their lives up and they don't get things done the way they ought to be done, and they get themselves out of the will of God, and they mess up their marriage, they mess up their children, they mess up their own lives. You can't run. And this is one of the things that proves it, and it's what the story is all about. Jonah, verse 3 said, rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, I'm sure Jonah was smarter than this, makes him think. But you and I know if God be the God that we read about in the Bible, where he's all-knowing, he's ever-present, he is all-powerful, he sees in the darkness just as you see in the light and even better, you can't run from that God. You may turn off the lights in your bedroom and think I'm hidden and I'm not going to be seen and I'm not going to be found out. But you know what? God's there. And he sees as clearly as you see at any time, more clearly all the time. At any rate, it said he was fleeing the presence of the Lord. If God is everywhere, then God's in the darkness.
Amen.
Nelda's fallen, and we need to be praying for her, but I like her song that she sings for us over and over again. He's the same God, the God on the mountain and the God in the valley. It's the same God. And your fellowship with him can be anywhere, on the top of the mountain or in the deep valley, in great joy or in great sorrow. But anyway, it says here that he rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa and got himself on a ship, and he paid the fare thereof and went down to go to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, I know someday, maybe some of you in here this very morning, you'd like to get out of whatever you're in. You'd like to get out of what difficulties that God seemingly has put you in. Not all of them are your fault. They're the thing, it's not necessarily your fault you get cancer. Or it's not your fault that you're standing on a certain street corner when a bus gets run over you, whatever. And you may be crippled and you may have lost a whole lot of things and you may be really complaining to God. Well, you'd like to, I'd like to run sometime, but you know something? You can't go very far. No matter where you go, God Almighty is already there. And you know, the Lord sent a great wind into the sea and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Some of your troubles are just natural. Some of your troubles are at random. Some of your troubles are sent by God directly. You know what that teaches? That teaches God is looking in on you right now. God knows what you're doing. And he has an interest in your mindset. I don't want to do this. You ever said that? I've said it. I don't want to do this. In fact, the last time I was in the hospital, they kept messing with me, and I called up Eddie at midnight, and I said, Eddie, come get me. I'm leaving. And they told me at the hospital, oh, no, you can't. I said, try and stop me. And I started pulling tubes out and think, you know, they had me, I don't know how many tubes and wires they had hooked up to me, but I just pulled them all off and waiting for Eddie to get there, and Eddie got there, and we walked out, and I haven't been back because I wanted to run. Now, I don't know that I did the right thing, and I'm not telling you to do it. You understand? But I say I understand about wanting to run sometimes. Don't want to run. I don't want to stay here. I don't want to be in the situation that I'm in. Well, that's what Jonah was. He's a prophet of God, and God asked him to do a repulsive thing. You ever had a hard time doing the will of God? Oh, yeah. Many a person has stayed with a marriage when they wanted to run. Many a person has dealt with their own child in a certain way and kept them and done what they had to do when they wanted to run. They wanted to get away from this horrible situation they're in. Well, that's Jonah. And here's old Jonah, and he's going down there and he's going to preach. And you know what he believes? Now, I don't think I've ever had this much confidence in preaching. He is afraid to preach to them because they're going to get converted. Isn't that something? I walk up and say, is there one that would be willing to be converted? I mean, is there one here that needs to repent? Is there one that really needs a revival? Is there one that can make a decision today that'll change their life? And I'm praying, Lord, how about one? How about 10? How about 100? How about 1,000? I'd love it all. But he was afraid they were going to repent. And you know what they did? They repented. They repented all the way up to the king of the land, walked around in sackcloth. Repentance. And they saved their country, and they saved their people, and they saved them for several generations, however many, I don't know it was, but 167 years, however many people can be born in all that time. That's a revival. That's a revival with some real results. Lord sent a great wind. He got a ticket, and he got on the boat, and he headed out to the deep sea. Now, I didn't join the Navy. Now, some of you guys are Navy men. Praise the Lord. I just don't like all that water all around me, you know. I can't swim that far. Now, I swam across Canyon Lake. My boys both swam across Canyon Lake in some years, and that's a pretty good swim. And we had a boat going along beside us to make sure if anybody, you know, caved in, we could get them. But when you talk about that ocean out there, I've been out there when the waves are just really coming up. Man, I don't want to be anywhere near that. And in fact, I got in the Air Force. I thought it was more like a 5-day-a-week job, you know. And it was. But I'm an Air Force veteran. 1955 to 1959. But I didn't have a mighty tempest in the sea where the ship was about to be broken. I get airsick in a plane. I mean, I get car sick in the back seat of a car. What would I do in a storm like this? Or the one like Paul had when the hurricane came and they had to lighten the ship and then they had to run the ship aground to try to save people's lives. There's some places you want to run from, and here he is. He's preaching, and he's afraid people are going to get saved and Nineveh's going to be saved. He does not want Nineveh to be saved. That's something. Lord sent a great wind in the sea. And he said he prepared a great fish. Jesus said it was a whale. These guys wanted to do their best to save his life. I don't think they were real believers in the God that we serve. Probably pagans. They had a bunch of different gods. But they did their best to save Jonah's life. And finally they couldn't. And they threw him in. And that was the hard thing for them to do. And soon as they threw him in, this whale that God had prepared with a great big gullet and a hotel room down in its belly. I imagine he was sleeping on kelp and all sorts of things down there. Whales don't eat a lot of big things. And 3 days and 3 nights... Wow. Do you like it when you have a headache for about an hour or two? No. You work. What can I do with this? And sometimes it doesn't go away. Some of you have bad headaches. It may last for days. And you're looking for a medicine that'll work for you. Jonah is in the belly of a whale. I don't know where he was swimming. I don't know where that whale went and whatever, but he was there 3 days and three nights. That's a long time. God prepared a fish. Do you reckon God's got a fish that could handle you? I'll bet he has. If I were still a betting man, I'd lay you odds. God would win. Said right here, Jonah prayed. Then Jonah prayed. Took him 3 days. I don't think it would have taken me about 30 minutes. I'd have been praying after about 30 minutes, but Jonah took 3 days. He prayed. This guy's a stubborn man. Of course, I don't think any preacher that isn't stubborn isn't worth his salt. If you can't stand up and stick up for something, and you won't stick up for Jesus, you won't stick up for the Word of God, well, it's because of one of those hard-headed guys. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, verse 2, I cried by reason of mine affliction. Amen. I cried by reason of mine affliction. You ought to be able to sympathize with that.
Yes.
You get afflicted, you start crying. Some of you in here, you've got a lot of pain. Things need to be corrected, and you're trying to go on and bring a good attitude about it. Well, Jonah prayed, and you ought to pray too. Out of the belly of hell, cried I. He thought, I am in hell. Now, he might have been. I don't know where that whale went. I don't know how deep he went into the depths of the ocean and whatever. But he thought he was in hell anyway. You ever said, well, hell couldn't be any worse? Of course, it could be. You just think it not. But he said right here, out of the belly of hell. Cried I. And then look what it says in the part, verse 2, just the end there. Thou heardest my voice. You need to pray. Some of us are forgetting to pray. We're just suffering and we're thinking all kinds of ways to distract ourselves or to win through this battle or to do whatever needs to be done. When you ought to be praying, you ought to be going to God. The answer to your problem is God. Jonah had a problem with God. Jonah wasn't a sinner, as a lot of people are sinners. He wasn't a wicked man. I think he was a moral man and a man that wanted to do the will of God. And yet God brought this position up to him that hurt him, that offended him, that nauseated him. He did not want to do God's will. Well, he prayed, and you ought to pray. I think the first thing you ought to do every time you get into a bad situation is pray. I remember Brent's testimony of the young lady that was in the car, and she just begins, the first thing she does is pray. She's praying for God, and he said, wow, what is she doing? He never heard of it, never thought of anything like that. It brought him to realize there's a God you can reach, and there's a God that is a help and a source. That's what Jonah did. He prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. I cried by reason of mine affliction, and out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. You can run from God. We all want to run. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Isn't it amazing how we can forget? I know I'm saved. I know Jesus Christ. I believe in God. I'm looking forward to seeing him someday. I don't think I'll understand him any better than I do now, because I think he's that much, too much bigger than us. I think in the wisdom of God and the power of God and the glory of God, wow, it's going to impress you. You know what John did in the first chapter of the book of Revelation? He fell down at his feet as dead. That was his best friend on earth. And he sees him down here about 70 years later. And he fell down at his feet as dead. That's what I'm going to do. That's what you're going to do. You're going to be impressed. May not be as impressed as you ought to be today, but you're going to be impressed. We all want to run. There's not anybody in here that has something they wouldn't like, but has something that they'd like to get away from. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Amen. My prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. And then in verse 8, it says something that's a great nugget of truth. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. If you're not serving the real God, and if you're serving the gods of the rest of the world, you don't have a God that can deliver. Yeah. I used to climb those mountains in Guatemala and pray and walk them and take my boys with me. They would sometimes go up there with me. And I'd come along and there'd be a little place and there'd be some chicken legs there. Somebody had been offering an offering to a heathen god, an idol. And I'm thinking, they're going to an effort to try to better their life or to change something, and they're going to something that can do nothing. But if you turn to God Almighty, He can change things. Amen. And you need to pray for revival. I think prayer is very important in getting revival. You need to pray for revival and that God do something. God can change situations. God can change nations. Amen. God can change sickness. God can heal. He can raise the dead. He can heal the sick. And wow, He can bring comfort to your heart. Amen. We all want to run from God. But I tell you what, if you're going after the wrong God, then you have no help coming. There is a God that gives help. Psalm 139, verse 7 says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit?" Amen. Where am I going to go? I'd like to run too, but I don't think running is going to do me any good. You would like to run, but running's not the answer. Except if you run to God, to the real God, the creator of heaven and earth, the God that came and died for you, paid your debt so that you could be saved.
Amen.
You could be His servant. Psalm 139:7 says, "Whither shall I go from thy presence? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, well, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me.
Amen.
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Wow. He's your God. And He's the only place you can go for a real answer. He's the only place you can go. And I tell you what, obeying Him is about the only thing you can do. You try to disobey Him. You think my old grandmother chasing me around the house with a little switch was sure? She was. She was sure. Well, God's even more sure. You can't run from Him. You just need to fall down at His face and say, "Lord, I'll do what you want me to do in whatever situation that you're in today." Wow. Psalm 51, verse 17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." God's not looking for your money. God's not looking for your labor. He's not looking for the strength of your legs or the brilliance of your mind. God's looking for you with a broken and a contrite heart. That's what He wants to see. He wants you to be knowledgeable enough to know you're not clean. Knowledgeable enough to know that you have no clout with God. that everything God does for you is His mercy.
Yep.
It's a gift, a wonderful gift. Wow, what a gift. Mm-hmm. No, it's a broken spirit He wants, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God. In John chapter 6, verse 67, the people had gone away. A lot of them had gone away. See, people deserted Jesus too. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? You know, it's a little sad thing when somebody decides to leave and to go and to break the friendship or break the fellowship or the work or whatever. And He's asking His disciples, will you go away? They're all leaving. Will you go away? Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go?
Amen.
If you believe like I believe that there is one God, maker of heaven and earth, eternal, immortal, absolutely beyond any knowledge of brilliance that I can think of, where do you want to go? I got no place else to go. I can only go to God. He's the only place I can go. Go to the devil, he won't do me any good. Go to your friends and neighbors, they won't do you any good. In whatever situation you're in this day and you're in this, your life, the only one place to go. Will you also go away? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? That's it. I know you got problems. I know that some of you are sitting in this room and you have very patiently been fighting a problem, a pain, a difficulty, something in the family, something in whatever. Everybody in this room's got problems. There's no place to go but to God. That's the only place. Whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and assure that Thou art Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. I would advise you today, seek the Lord. Don't keep going to neighbors and friends and relatives. Don't keep pushing your own thoughts, whatever. Why don't you just humble yourself and say, God, I need Your help. Some of you here, and you're not right with God, and you know it. Well, why don't you just quit running?
Yeah.
Why don't you just quit running and this morning say, the only hope for me is in God? Why don't you seek the Lord with all your heart? Go to Him with all your understanding. And seek the one who knows the answer to your problem. Seek the one that can change your mind and change your heart and change your spirit. Why don't you repent? I know it's not popular to repent, not today, but that's what needs. That's what you need. That's what I need. We need to repent. We need to change our mind about some of the foolish things we're doing. And just make up our mind to put our heart in the hands of the Lord. Seek His face. Let Him have His way. Whatever it is that you're resisting, whatever it is that you can't handle, why don't you seek the Lord? He's got the words of eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for so many blessings.
Amen.
We thank You, Lord, that we have been given the truth of the gospel, the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us and paid our debt and traded our sins and put upon Himself and put His righteousness on us so that we become sons of God. God, You got the answer to all of our problems and all of our needs. And I ask You, Lord, to work on some of us, work on all of us.
Amen.
God, have your way. We want to see revival. We want to see hearts drawn close to you. We want to see sinners repenting of their sins and lost people getting saved. And we ask you for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand and sing hymn number 253. I think you can play if you know it, hon. If not, we'll sing it.